Hey friends, welcome to the Stationery Cafe, your podcast for everything stationery, journaling, planning related, and fun things happening in the community. I'm April from Penguins Creative, and in today's episode, our stationery lover is me, April. And in today's recording, I really wanted to just to kind of turn the tables, and because I've talked to so many amazing stationery lovers in the past 26 episodes, I kind of want to come back and answer some of those questions from my perspective and also share kind of like my learnings about journal, about diary, about planners, and then what it really means and how it all bundles together. And so today I'm here to share my story as a stationery addict and my notebook problem. So the first question to ask is, where did it all begin? When did I start the stationery journey? What planner did I start using? And I think it's actually very similar to all the other guests that has been on in the past. It started with the school diary that I was given when I was in high school, or maybe it was middle school. And then it began as a foray into all things like beautiful, like colors, patterns, stickers, creativity. And then obviously growing up in Taiwan, I got introduced to a lot of Asian cartoon characters, different manga styles. And then eventually it evolved into a system that works for me that I can use for school, for projects, and eventually for work. In 2012 was my last year of college, I believe. I was gifted a Hobonichi A6 Techo by my aunt who goes to Japan a lot. And at first glance, it was literally the most boring Techo that I've known because my aunt didn't even give me a cover. She just gave me the Hobonichi Techo. It's like the book, the insert where it's like that beige exterior with just the layout inside. But she told me that it was the best system she's ever used. And prior to that, I've been using weekly planners, kind of like Sanrio related, where you get like weekly horizontals on the left side and blank pages on the right. So that's kind of what I've been accustomed to, kind of condensing my schedule, my to-dos on the over two spreads. But the Hobonichi Techo, to me back then as the last senior of my year, I got to use it and incorporate a lot of my work to-dos because I was working part-time at the time. And I was also the student president of our student council for our department. And so I literally used the Hobonichi Techo as a planner, scheduler, and nothing more. Every day, that daily page you have was not filled with illustrations. It was literally just lines of to-dos, general notes, things I gotta remember, and appointments. And so I really had my first experience with Hobonichi Techo was just very plain and was nothing spectacular. After 2012, I went off to work in Thailand for about a year and a half. And that year I was pretty much creative drain. Like I wasn't doing anything fun stationery wise at all, despite living in Bangkok and like in a completely new country that I was used to. And so when I returned back to Taiwan, I was pretty much lost in terms of, you know, my career. I was hoping to pivot from my job as a purchaser at a manufacturing company into a marketing professional. So I was taking classes for GMAT to prepare for applying to schools in the US, and at the same time doing some gigs here and there at startups. And it was a pretty odd gap year for me. And so that year was when I decided that instead of letting time just fly by and for me to kind of go with the flow, why not pick up a planner and try to document everything that happened of each day so that to me it would feel like this gap year was more substantial rather than wasted away. And so 2013-2014 was really when Taiwanese stationery had starting to kind of be on the rise. You get creators, you have artists, you have an amazing amount of planner and journals that has been like passed down or passed through from Japan. You have the Hobonichi, you have the Traverse Notebook. That's the first year I got into Traverse Notebook as well. But then what really had been the turning point into my stationery addiction was, again, another gift by my aunt of the same book, but the Hobonichi Techo English Planner. And so the minimalistic layout and the fun quotes had really inspired me to take my then pastime doodles and turn them into these daily spreads that combined with washi that I started to curate, stickers I started to buy because I was stressed out from work. And then all these fun things together kind of pivoted and jump-started my Hobonichi lifestyle. I started to doodle a lot. I started sharing on Instagram. I created Penguins Creative back then. That was when I started Instagram and starting to share my pages. And I was just a girl in Taiwan, but I was able to connect with a lot of fledgling fans of Hobonichi here in the United States back then through the Facebook group Hobonichi Techo Users. And somehow it had became quite a big movement in the stationery world. And for me, up to the point where I actually moved to the US and knowing that stationery isn't quite the same here back in 2016 as opposed to back in Asia, that I started to be more mindful of the brands that I can find, more mindful of the different things that I can do, the different spreads that people in back home in Taiwan and Asia are using, and then sharing it with my friends here who aren't, you know, used to this kind of freeform creative journaling system. So that's basically where it all started. So I'm actually going to be mixing in some Q&As that I've been collecting from the Stationery Cafe Instagram for people who might want to ask me something about my journaling habit. So I think this is a great segue to answer the question, why paper planning rather than digital? Because for me, this hobby has never really been about planning. Like, I am the most disorganized person you can imagine. The notes app on my phone is chaotic. And then I really am into stationery and journaling and planners because it's a form of recording to me. So really up till this point, the majority of journaling has been retrospective or happened after things had occurred. It had never really been future planning for me. And stationery and journaling is really a hobby. You know, why I'm not doing it digitally is because I love feeling and touching paper. I love writing with pens and, you know, how Asia, there's tons of different kinds of pens and you really just want to try out different kinds. I like taking up stickers from a sheet and putting it on paper. It's just a great mixture of nostalgia and creativity that has become this like passion for me. And obviously at work, I used to use Google Calendar, Google Drive, Trello, Slack, emails, just like anyone else. But when it comes to like my personal life and now slowly merging into work schedules, but we'll talk about that later, it's something fun in what I choose to spend my time doing. And so I wouldn't necessarily call what I do paper planning, but it really is a paper hobby. And that's why digital just doesn't cut it for me. So the analog journey, since we're speaking about paper and everything substantial, this really is the stationery hobby. It really is a analog journey. I love how James back in one of our previous episodes kind of coined this. It's never ending. Honestly, you start out with like one book, and the next thing you know, like 5 years later, I'm juggling seven planners and journals at the same time. And I think many of you guys can really relate because the world of stationery is really quite diverse. And social media is so commonplace that it's so easy to stumble into Instagram hashtags, stumble into Facebook groups, and find things that just inspires you on all levels despite, you know, whatever system that you do. And sometimes it's really like in awe, like what I can see from bullet journaling spreads, from Hobonichi spreads, or like simply a lot of artworks is what people can create with stationery and paper. And to me, I feel like it's not dwelling on the fact that someday we need to get to be a master of that particular style, because I think it's really hard for, you know, us going into stationery, just like beginning and really exploring this hobby. But isn't it a great feeling to know that you can somehow recreate some of that specialness in a certain specific spread or like a specific design or specific collaging layout in your own notebook and with your own twist on the story, obviously, of that day and the narrative? So that's really something that intrigues me with the stationery and analog journey. And then I also wanted to touch on a little bit on the idea of planner piece. A lot of us in the stationery community talk about planner piece, like needing to find planner piece. And I think it's mentioned many times also in our past interviews. Like, we just want that feeling of satisfaction of knowing what we have is like awesome and like it works for me, right? And so I think this touches on a little bit of this paradox, I think, of trying to be conscious of how much stuff you own, or stationary minimalism, as we talked with Anna in the previous episode. And then also that constant need to find the next thing, whether it's like the next layout, the next system, the next stationary item. But in my opinion, I think planner piece doesn't exist as a state, and it's very unrealistic that you can someday achieve that state. I think it's the moment that gives you, when you found like a system that gives you joy when you're using it, and it doesn't stop at a certain point. So planner piece can happen in like milliseconds or like days or weeks. And I think this is how I interpreted it, because as a person evolves or grow, we have different tastes, different interests, and our analog system grows and evolves with us. So there never could be a state where like consistently we'll feel happy using a specific type of system. Hence, no planner piece. or if you think about it, it's not supposed to be an endpoint you're trying to achieve and stay. It's all about the moments when you're feeling really, really like joyful, excited, happy, and when you're like doing it, like the process of journaling on a daily basis or an occasional basis. So you can say that there's no planner piece, and there's also planner piece every day when you are enjoying the stationery process. It really comes down to that feeling of, you know, how much joy it brings you when you have created these pages, wrote down these notes or diary entries, plan out your thing using stickers to embellish it. And then as long as you're satisfied with the aftermath, like the flip through or revisiting what you created, I think that's enough to call it planner piece. So I know it's kind of like, I feel like I didn't explain it completely. But then I guess, you know, it's my interpretation, and I hate to tell people, oh, this journal or system will give you planner peace, or like, this is the ultimate book or the planner that will give you planner peace, because it's different for everyone. You know what I mean? So I think, in fact, we should celebrate every day as achieving planner peace if you are enjoying what you're doing with the system and the items and the stationery that you have. So let's talk about choosing a book that fits your system for 2021. And I think I want to approach this section as like a planner journal 101. And for those who are either new to the stationery community or have been in here for the longest time, you know, I feel like it's nice to always revisit again, these lingos or the stationery vocabularies that, you know, when we try to explain to someone else, what are we doing? What are we doing here? Like your husband, your boyfriend, your friends, like your normal daily friends who doesn't get stationery. And so I'm just going to touch on specifically the notebook portion, and they can go listen to other episodes of the Stationery Cafe if they want to know what it's what else is in the stationery world. So I think I also wanted to like approach this topic because I needed to explain myself. Although it seems like I'm using a lot of notebooks, in reality, it's because this is a manifestation of my analog journey, and I am using them and I'm not using them at the same time. Okay, this is getting really mystical and like weird. But okay, let's just break down what like all these notebooks are. And then for people who are thinking about what they want for 2021, I'm going to give you like recommendations of the brands that I like to recommend here. Mostly Japan or Taiwan oriented, because we focus on a lot on Asian stationery, and that's what I know and are familiar with. So planners, journals, diaries, they all sound like they're the same thing, but they're actually not, but they also are. But I like to separate this need for this notebook system into three categories. First, a planner / schedule that's dated. Two, a diary that's dated. And three, a journal that's not dated. So these three are the system when people are talking about, oh, I need a Hobonichi, I don't need a planner for next year, I want to like do journaling, what book should I use? So I would say break down or think about exactly what you want. Like, are you trying to find a planner or scheduler where it contains a monthly overlook, a monthly layout, and maybe a weekly layout, whether it's horizontal or vertical, and doesn't have to have too many note pages? So that's like a planner and schedule. It's usually forward-looking. It's usually in the moment because of like checklists and to-do lists. And these are usually for personal appointments or for work or for school. So I think a planner and scheduler is a book that is dated and it is used to record things that directly relates to yourself and your surroundings, whether it is in the moment or for the future. So like get things done system, to-do list, these are all part of the planner scheduler umbrella. And on the other hand, we have the diary. I like to talk about the diary and journal together because they're kind of similar, because they're more retrospective, they're more reflections, they're more memory keeping, scrapbooking, collaging, if you will, or even today, the creative spreads that you see in mostly the Instagrammers or the people in the stationery community, I think they're more diary oriented, diary or journal oriented, and they could be dated and non-dated. And obviously with these two major umbrellas, the planner versus diary and journal, you can embellish them however way that you want, with washi tape, stickers, and all that. But we're not going to talk about the decorative part right now. It's mainly the system. So if you're looking for something that's just for work, personal, school, planning appointments, the brands I'm obviously going to recommend is like Hobonichi. Hobonichi Techo is this Japanese system that really came from the idea that it's a catch-all notebook, and these days they have a lot of cool sizes and styles to choose from. So I guess for a planner or scheduler, two main common layouts that people like to use is the Hobonichi Weeks, which you see on many like threads. It's the slim pocket size notebook that has a weekly layout horizontally on the left side of a spread, and on the right side of the book is a blank grid note pages. And these are super portable. You can jot down appointments, jot down notes, and using the monthly calendar to have like an overview. And then in the back, there's some spare note pages for you to write other extra notes. And so this has really been Hobonichi brand solution to the on-the-go scheduler planner. And then some people also like to use the cousin size for work. The cousin size is the biggest layout, the biggest size of the Hobonichi system. It is in A5 size, and it's got a monthly overlook page. It's got one day a page layout, which is very iconic of the Hobonichi Techo. And in addition to the daily page, you actually also get a vertical weekly layout at the beginning. So it's got three styles. So I've seen people use it for work because they can time block on the vertical columns. People also use it, the daily pages to take notes, and obviously the monthly layout for like schedulings and meetings. And from what I've seen of the Hobonichi employees, they actually use it at work a lot because they just leave the big chunky book at work and they don't really have to like take it anywhere else. So they use it in meetings to take notes. And the weekly is just great for tracking, you know, when you can see the whole week at a glance. So that's the Hobonichi and the two sizes I would recommend for personal work for school. And if you're worried about the cousin being too chunky, as it might be, because after all, it contains like 365 pages for every day of the year. You can always get the AVEC version, which kind of separates or splits down the entire book into two. So you get the January to June portion of the book, and then July to December. And that's the system I use, although not for planning. Other brands I like to recommend, Jibun is a very popular choice among Japanese planner users. It mainly adopted, you know, the vertical weekly layout that I just spoke about in the cousin. And it comes in many sizes as well. Mostly there's like, I think A5 slim, B6 size, B6 slim. And then it has no pages in the back. It has vertical weekly overview. It has a monthly layout. And it's just, it's like in itself, this entire brand has like a similar following as people who use the Hobonichi. And there's many brands out there that creates letter covers or custom covers for these sizes. So that's a popular option and that you can look into if you want a great planner system. The Noti is a very, you know, generic brand in Japan, and they have tons of sizes and different layouts. My personal recommendation is the Noti Listy, which is the same size as a Jibun Techo, as an A5 slim, like the standard size. And that's like the size of a Traverse Notebook regular. And it contains the monthly pages and the weekly vertical layout that you get in the cousin, but in a more minimalistic way. And so obviously this book is more compact because it doesn't have one day a page, it just have the 52 weeks in a year, and then you get some no pages at the back. And I like it because A5 slim is a great size. It's big enough to write down notes, but it's also thin enough, I think, to fit into a work bag. Other planners, you have the, you know, well-loved Take a Note from Taiwan. The Take a Note system is, I think I've talked about this before, but the creator really dwelled on, you know, productivity, efficiency, meetings, appointments. So you get like a monthly layout with page references to whichever page you're using in the back, as well as like a very cool monthly section where you can like reference weekly goals or weekly projects. And the take a note system for its daily layout, it is actually 2 days a page. So they split down the page into two columns where you can, you know, have 4 days across an entire spread. Oh, by the way, this comes in an A6 size and A5 size for the past few years. We don't know about 2021 yet. So the take a note is also cool because not only does it do 2 day a page, you have less space to write in, or for some people, that's a good thing. And at the beginning of each week's spread, you'll get a little tiny calendar of that entire week right before the, you know, the daily sections. So that's great if you want to like track projects or track to-dos on a weekly basis. I found that portion really functional, and you can obviously go on Take a Notes website and take a look for yourself what the layout is like. And following that, there's Moleskine, there is MD planners, Midori comes out with a lot each year. The Seinfeld is basically the company behind Midori, and they come out with so many Japanese planner every year. And this is when you can go on to many of those retailers you buy from and find a great selection. BizGrid from Nakaoka Shoten is something I tried this year as well. And it's also an A5 size, and it's very simple. It's just kind of similar to the Noti in the fact that it's just got monthly pages in vertical columns as a weekly spread, and then just blank no pages in the back. And then Traverse Notebook obviously has its own style planner too, the data planners. You can get them in like the week style where it's horizontal on one side and blank on the other, and or get it in the weekly overview style where you get your weekly spread in vertical columns. So these are like my recommended planner schedules that you should take a look and see for yourself which one you like more based on the sizing and the system. But they're all very similar because, you know, you're condensing a week into one view. You got the monthly calendar, and that's all that matters when you're thinking about planning, right? You're thinking about appointments, you're thinking about the future and like little notes and stuff. Okay, the next part, the diary and the journal. So this is where it gets a little bit more fun, because this is the creative journaling that many people like to reference or talk about when they plan or when they journal or when they, you know, write their diary. I think journaling might be what we use the most in the stationery community. So I'm just going to talk about briefly the listing of dated diaries that you can consider. Hobonichi is one, obviously. Their signature size is the A6 Techo, which has a day a page. And it's got, you can get the Japanese version where you get the quotes in Japan. And then you can also get the English version in A6 called the English Planner, Hobonichi English Planner. And that's also one day, one page. And I think one of the most popular reason that people like to use the Hobonichi is because of the Tomoe River paper. And for people who are like heavy stationery users, they might have already gotten into the realm of fountain pens. So paper quality then becomes really important. So that's probably why Hobonichi has gathered quite the cult. Jibun is branching out with days. So Jibun is the brand I mentioned earlier, but this year they started doing a diary format, one day, one page as well, called Jibun Days. And take a note for some people are also used as diaries, because if you get it in the A5 size, that's actually quite a substantial amount of space to write in, even if you split it to 2 days per page. And to some people who is experiencing like the Goldilocks syndrome, like one's too big, one's too small, take a note might actually be the perfect space for you to do a daily entry. Fleur Ear Lab is what I've been recommending for the past few days. It's another Taiwanese brand that creates these one day, one page journals. She, the founder of Florio Lab, actually had evolved the brand throughout many years, and it used to be like a 2 days per page. It also used to have a week's layout, but this year and next year, they're only doing 1 day, one page in the A6 and B6 size. So that's the data portion. Now, if we want to talk about non-data journals, it could be diary if you decide to write in it on a daily basis, but most people probably journal in a non-data frequency. I also find that journals are usually more out of the box, as in you're not really constricted to writing daily events. It could be creative spreads, it could be collages, it could be anything, including like even like just slapping or washi tape recording, slapping stickers, all that stuff. So Hobonichi Day Free is the Hobonichi solution. You get a monthly overview and then just undated pages of the Hobonichi layout in the rest of the book in Tomoe River paper. You get that nice gridded space. Traveler's notebook system is one that many journalers use because you get to improvise and personalize your inserts, which are typically blank or gridded or ruled, or today a lot of various different textures and paper medium. So if you look at lots of Taiwanese Instagrammers who are in the stationery community, they love using the Traveler's Notebook system because they get to collage and use their washi tapes and use their stickers in a variety of different ways. And other notebook brands for the bullet journaling community that's popular here are like Archer and Olive, Leuchtturm, Moleskine. I guess there's a few that I'm not as familiar with. So we might have to get into that later, but MD Notebook is a great solution to high quality Japanese paper if you want like a non-data journal that you want to write in. And then London Gifties, I know she also came out with really cool notebooks last year that's like thicker GSM. So really any kind of notebook can be a journal if you want to use it to document your life, to make creative spreads, and it doesn't have to be on a day-by-day basis. So to sum it up, journaling system can be differentiated into a planner or a diary / journal, and some people use only one and incorporate everything into that system. Some people use two. So if you're interested in choosing what to use in 2021, I would recommend you looking up all these brands and think about the sizing, think about the design, and think about the style you want for your planning and journaling layout. So now, if you have one or two of the above, like if you have one or two planner, diary, journal, I think it's pretty normal. It's like, I feel like people out there who are not in the community also may have had a planner or may have be using a diary, and we're still in a normal territory. So let's get into the crazy part. We're now venturing into the territory of a hobby that feeds into our stationery addiction and vice versa. If you have multiple of the above and multiple of what I'm about to mention, then congratulations, you're now in the world of stationery, and this is when your friends and family is eventually going to stop asking you about all those Amazon or other international packages that keep arriving. I know my husband has stopped asking. And don't worry, I think one thing, don't worry about people judging you or whether it is productive or it is obsessive, because people have different interests. This is the point where you really just have to like admit that this is a hobby and tell other people that this is your hobby, because my husband chooses to play video games for like 4 to 5 hours straight after he gets off work. I choose to spend my time at my table journaling and being creative in my diary, journals, notebooks, planners, and whatever. So it really comes down to admitting to yourself that you you're doing something else other than planning or writing down appointments or like doing diaries. We've come to the realm of more categories of journals and planning systems. So now I am going to introduce two more categories into this notebook system dilemma. One is project/tracker journals. And the second is just notebook/commonplace journals. For the first one, project/trackers is typically referring to notebooks that could be your planner or your diary system, or the brands I mentioned above, that you are using solely for a purpose, for another purpose, as opposed to your daily appointments, as opposed to your daily journaling entries. So for some people, that could be a diary about their plants. It could be a health journal. It could be bullet journaling with like fun and creative layouts. It could be a diary that you write about your kids, your family. It could be about your pets. So project/trackers is a section or a category that you can use to justify buying more planners or buying more notebooks. I know that feeling very well. And the next section is just notebook/commonplace journals. And I like to say that like Leuchtturm, the Archer and Olive, and MD notebooks, these are all kind of in that category because you can use it for note-taking, you can use it for occasional writing, and you can also use it to make fun spreads outside of your daily journal or diary that you've been using. And that's kind of the situation I found myself to be right now with having too many options of planners and systems that I had to eventually find them a purpose so they became a project notebook or a tracker, or I just admit that I'm using them as a commonplace notebook and, you know, a place where I can have fun and like without a daily pressure to use up my stationery items, washi tapes, stickers, pens, and accessories. And now that I have kind of like categorized these major things, this is when you ask, okay, am I content to just look for that planner I want to use for 2021 and that's pretty much it? Or are you trying to justify to yourself why I'm getting so many systems and what other creative things I'm going to do that is part of my stationery hobby, right? And then people also ask about, you know, oh, how do you like journal so consistently? Like, what is the, how many days do you journal? Do you journal every day? What is this habit? And really the frequency difference from one another. And that's why it's really hard to define what's the accurate, what's the correct habit to have. So for some people, it could be a daily habit of planning. Like they sit down and plan on what they want to do every day. Or journaling, like or like writing in their diary. I want to track what has happened in my day every day. But for some people who don't have as much time or have other interests or, you know, have family and other chores to do, it could come down to just 2 to 3 times a week, or just on the weekends, or just for special trips, or just those stolen moments in the day that, you know, you dedicate to sitting down and like have fun with your stationery items. And the reason why I'm not talking too much about brand recommendations for covers, accessories, washi tape, stickers is because we talked about them in all these other episodes and we'll continue to do so. But also I feel like these are like toppings on top of an already delicious ice cream. So I really like ice cream, so I'm using that as an analogy. So some people are satisfied with finding one system or like enjoying that single vanilla scoop of ice cream. Or sometimes when the layout is extra special, like a Hobonichi, their peculiar flavors like Mary and Berry or coffee, cookies, and cream. And some of us in the deep end of the pool just wants the whole shebang with like sprinkles and cherries and whipped creams and hot fudge. And oh gosh, I love hot fudge. And so it really comes down to like preferences, right? Like everyone likes ice cream, but you know, the flavors you choose or the toppings you add are really just like differs based on how much time you are going to dedicate into this hobby and how much enjoyment you take from it. And as an example, Kawaii Journaling Movement, led by Kyla and Rainbowholic, is kind of like that, in that they really took journaling and creative journaling to the next level, with just using up as many stationery as they can to really create these vibrant, colorful, amazing layouts. And on the other sides, you have like muted, really sophisticated and classical spreads, like what James does, or what, and then you also have like freeform watercoloring inspired ones like Cecile, like myths that I've talked to. So it really is different. And for a person who's right now getting into the stationery community, there's no one correct way. It really comes down to what you like to do, what you want to do, and what you can do. So don't be pressured to thinking that there's only like one way it should look. And I think that's kind of like a common fallacy in the bullet journaling world, where it has to look a certain way, or it has to be so perfect and so pretty and so Instagram friendly. And I think creative journaling is really all about just being content with the style, or the, or not even style, that spread you made that day. And that's all that matters. So sliding in another question, what's your daily schedule like, and how you fit all these planners and notebooks in? That's a hard question. So I will be going into it, but I do have a lot of planners. I do have a lot of journals. I do have a lot of notebooks. But prior to the pandemic, I have a normal day job, and this pretty simple person. Like, I don't have obligations like kids or a pet. I have friends and I have hobbies. Like, I like to read, I like to watch Netflix and all that stuff. But I would say my daily schedule is pretty normal, like, and boring. Maybe I need more hobbies, but I get up, I do my chores, I go to work, I come home, I eat, I do more chores, and then I play with my stationery. So that's the time of the day. Maybe like 2 hours, 1 to 2 hours that I dedicate to my stationery and to the journals and the planners. And then obviously throughout the day, I would have different systems or notebooks that I take to work or put in my everyday carry bag, and then use them according to the whims of the occasion. And then on weekends is when I catch up on blank pages that I missed during the week, because sometimes there's just days when you're binging on Netflix. So those days I don't journal. I would either wake up earlier in the day on the weekend, listen to some music, and pretend I'm cafe journaling outside. Or in the past, before the pandemic, I would actually be doing cafe journaling with friends and people who are interested in this hobby. What is my 2020 lineup right now? We're not getting to 2021. I think this is a good time to recap what works for me and what notebooks and journals I'm using, so you can kind of see the extent of how bad this notebook problem is, could be for someone, or how intense this stationery hobby can be. And I think I'm going to break it down according to the categories that I mentioned earlier. Remember how I said you have a planner, you have a diary, you have a journal, you have a tracker project type of journal, and then you have like commonplace notebooks. So for my planner that I have been able to use very efficiently and like that suits me this year is the Noti Listy One. So Noti, like I said, is a general brand, and they have a variety of layouts, and this specific layout is the Listy, L-I-S-T-Y, in the layout one, which is the vertical layout. Listy two is the horizontal layout that you would see similar to the Hobonichi weeks, where you get horizontal weekly on the left and a blank page on the right. When I say blank, they're usually gridded or dot grid. So I use the Noti Listy one for my daily appointments, to-dos, checklist. I do financial tracking, like how much I spend during the day. And in general, things or events that I have planned for the future, this is where I jot down everything in the monthly layout and on the weekly layout. So at the beginning of each week, Mondays, I would, you know, consult my noti listy and kind of plan out or anticipate my goals and the things I need to accomplish in terms of checkbox or to-dos in the entire weekly overview. And I kind of took this system and adopted it for my stationary cafe planning. So it's kind of like my work now, the stationary cafe, even though I'm not paid, but this is kind of like my other work planner. And it's the Nagaoka Shoten Biz Grid, which I discovered through a Facebook group that introduces many Japanese planners. And so I use that in the same way because it also has the monthly layout and the vertical overview. So I plan episodes, I plan when I'm going to talk with guests, I plan specifics and checkbox that I need to fill in before fun projects like the watch party we hosted for the Hobonichi review launch. So the Noti Listy one and the Biz Grid has been my very sturdy and consistent planner and schedule. And like I said, it's not like super boring in the sense that I only use one pen in it. I spice it up now and then by putting on washi strips, slapping some stickers on it, stamping on it, you know, doing fun little things on it to make planning not so boring. Next category, my diary. And for those who follow me will obviously know my answer. It's the Hobonichi Cousin Avec. It's the catch-all for all my memory keeping, memorabilia, ephemera, happy mail, movie tickets, takeout business cards, illustrations that I like and print it out. Sometimes I doodle in it, I paint in it, I draw in it. I write down quotes and I write really boring Dear Diary style entries like, today I woke up late again. I had to pick up the mail from the post office, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, and it's, but the thing is, if you've been doing this for a long time like me, like this is my 6th year using the Hobonichi, it has really became a fun habit and then like an obligation to myself to write in it every day the best I can. And because every day you would use different elements in it, it has become a great, like a really beautiful and fun and colorful curation of the past 6 years of my life. Because now I can go back and flip through and see that, oh, on this day I went to this event and on this day I met up with this friend who I didn't talk to in a while. So I always make it a point to write down something that's like significant or especially very memorable about that day. And right now during the pandemic, it's really a testament to my ability to capture that because you're not going anywhere. So I really like started focusing more about like becoming more conscious about my surroundings, the environment, daily news, like the people I interact with, even though it's not in person. So those all contribute to this daily collection of April's life for the past 6 years. And I think I'll continue to do that for a long, long time. By the way, I also use the weekly vertical columns of the cousin because it's A5, so they actually include in an extra section, the weekly vertical spreads. I use as a day log in the sense that at the end of each day, I will go in there and just fill in the entire column from the moment I wake up to down to nitty gritty, super boring, specific things I've done throughout the day. What time I showered, what time I had breakfast, what did I have for breakfast? So it was really kind of like this really monotonous logging of my actions. And so that in the occasion where I forget or like miss the day, I can go back and refer to it. And you might know this feeling where you're like, I don't even remember what I ate yesterday. This is a great way to kind of solve that issue because at the end of the day, when you write it down, you can always look back and like remember what happened when you needed to recall something. So I like doing that. The Hobonichi, you know, the founder has really designed it to be a catch-all kind of book. He kind of coined it the life book, L-I-F-E, life book. But yeah, I've been really enjoying the system, the way it gives you structure where you don't have to draw those perfect columns or like the lines and the dates. And then what really is up to you is how to fill the content, and they could be free form and different every single day. So that's what I love about it. And I also feel like I needed that structure of a daily page to remind myself to do it on a more consistent basis. Let's see. I have two other diaries system that I use. One is the Hobonichi 5-year journal that I just started using since 2019. They came out with the 5-year techo since 2018, I believe. So 2019 was when I plunged and started using it. And the cool thing about these sort of like X-year journals is that you can compare significant milestones on a day-to-day basis. So like, oh, this day at this time, I did this amazing thing. And then like the next year, you're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe last year this time it was freezing cold and now it's super hot. So it has that sort of fun factor to keeping a 5-year or 3-year or 10-year journal. So for me, I use it to track milestones. I got my first car. I sold my first car or, you know, I graduated from college. I graduated from my master's, or, you know, I got my first paycheck from this new company I worked at. So kind of cool, like big items in it. So I don't necessarily write in it every day, but only for really special occasions would I go in and lock it down so that, you know, I can enjoy the process of flipping into it again next year and then be like, oh, so what? This is what happened. So 5-year journal from the Hobonichi. And the last thing I use as a diary is the Take a Note system. Take a Note planner from Taiwan. I use the A5 size mainly because I wanted to be able to use up all my Hobonichi Cousin covers. It's 2 days a page, 2 days a page. And it's essentially becoming my Chinese diary. So I've been using it to practice my Chinese writing a lot more. I obviously speak fluent Mandarin, write fluent Chinese, but the more time I spend in the US, the less I speak or write in Chinese. So that's kind of like a skill that I'm trying to recoup and make sure it's not rusty. So I don't want a system that's too big. And so the Take a Note is perfect because it's just 2 days a page and I get to do more fun collaging in those pages when I run out of space from the Hobonichi Cousin. And so for a while in 2020, when Animal Crossing was the craze, I had completely turned my Take a Note Chinese diary into an Animal Crossing journal or Animal Crossing diary, where I literally wrote down diligently, you know, what happened in my Animal Crossing world that day. So that was a fun 4-month jaunt. And now I'm back to Chinese diary writing again. Next section, journal. So this, remember I said, is more of undated. It's less structured. I use a traveler's notebook for that. And I call it the weekend diary because this is usually the catch-all and the book and the system that catches the overflow from my Hobonichi Cousin, especially during weekends when I do more fun things than usual. Like I would meet up with someone back in the days. We would go out and hang out somewhere. We would try different restaurants for lunch and for dinner. And so those all are like photos in my phone or like fun ephemera that I collected. So I ended up doing fun spreads that's super free form and they vary day to day or weekend to weekend. And they are a collection of the fun stuff that I did on special trips, like a travel trip or the weekends that is not that does not have enough space for me to write them all in the Hobonichi Cousin. So that's my journal. And, you know, people use it for fun stuff. Like some people use the track Happy Mail so you can, you know, date it yourself and keep track of when you receive Happy Mail from this person or when your next shopping package has arrived and what was in the haul. So these are all fun ways to, you know, utilize an undated planner because you can choose when you want to write in it and you're not constricted by, obviously, the date. Next, tracker slash journal, my trackers. This is when I'm going to delve into my Hobonichi Weeks obsession. I have been repurposing my Hobonichi Weeks not as a diary, not as a planner, but more like a health tracker journal. And I record daily meals on the weekly section, breakfast, lunch, dinner. And then on the right, I separate the page into half, a line straight down, so it's two columns, and on one side I would write body talks and on the other side I would write emotional thoughts. So literally being very conscious about my health physically, mentally, and then tracking down what I eat. And I know it's not gonna be like a professional, like medical, like journal for any other purposes, but it makes me feel good about myself, and it actually gives me that ability to be introspective and conscious about my own well-being, which I think many people tend to gloss over when, you know, the day-to-day kind of like just takes advantage of you, like it just flows by and you'd be like someday just kind of come to your senses and be like, why am I so exhausted, you know? So I like having the Hobonichi Weeks as my health planner. And as a supplement, I use the Fleurier Lab A6, A6 size, one day, one page, to be like a mindfulness journal / gratitude journal. So on days when I get super anxious or like have really a lot to rant about, the Fleurier Lab one day, one page little notebook planner is something that I use to kind of spill my internal worries and like just all these thoughts that I don't necessarily want to take up my daily journal in. Next section, projects, project planners. I use three for three different projects. Actually, they're not giant notebooks. They're only the Traverse Notebook passport size inserts. And because I bought a lot of covers in the past, I really want to find a way to use them up. So I use one Traverse Notebook passport insert for my art spreads from my from the stationery cafe meetups that I hosted. So each week we tackle different topics and we use different mediums. And I think I talked about that in the last episode. So I use it to kind of track these weekly meetups. The second one I use it for a positivity passport that's inspired by Christine from Everyday Explorers. So this is just a little insert where I would slap in a photo or usually a Polaroid and accompany it with some text and just kind of be this like really free form, non-dated log of happy things. So true to its name, positivity passports. And these are really nonsensical. These could be like, you know, the clouds look so pretty today and I really enjoy the snapshot I took on my phone, or oh, the kitties have visited from the neighbors. So that's another entry in my positivity passport. So you can see it's like really not significant enough to go into my diary nor into my Traverse notebook, but they're just little things that makes me happy. So I'm calling it the positivity passport Traverse notebook. And finally, the last project, insert journal. Oh my gosh, I'm not keeping track of what I'm calling it, but like project notebook is a Traverse notebook passport insert for current events. And that includes right now to coronavirus counts, which is kind of negative. Black Lives Matter movements, obviously the political states of racial injustice that's happening and in the United States, and even things that's happening back home in Taiwan. You know, we are also very rigorously tracking and, you know, combating COVID-19 and being very I guess, conscious of health and public safety measures. So these are the things that I track. And then sometimes I expand it to world events as well. The Beirut explosion, unfortunately, that was like super tragic, but kind of like a big point in history. We have, you know, the Japan Prime Minister resigning because of his efforts in COVID was not strong enough. So all these kind of like current events that doesn't really go, like I don't record it daily, but you know, when it's significant, I want to keep them somewhere. And so this is my current event insert. And finally, the last section, the last category, notebooks. I use 4 notebooks for random things. I use the London Gifties notebook that's kind of bound like a Leuchtturm, Marshall Olive. I use it for writing exercise. So I actually hold meetups with one of my close friends, and we just would sit down on a Saturday morning on Zoom or Google call, and we would just write together. Like she would write her own project and I would write my own project. And I think that's just kind of like a little fun habit or a little fun event to do where, you know, I can use up my notebooks, I can use up my fountain pens and the inks. And I use the London Gifty notebooks for that. The other notebook I use is Archer and Olive. I recently got the Neapolitan notebook from Archer and Olive, which is a mixture of white dot grid, of craft dot grid, and black dot grid. So this is like my playground for fun spreads. I'm an aspiring bullet journaler, so I'm trying to create fun and creative spreads in there. And lately I've been into list making. So I'm not yet into the calendar drawing portion of bullet journaling yet. I'm only into the list and spread making. I've been making lists of songs I like for this 2 months. I made a list and illustrated some sandwiches of places I want to try, sandwich places I want to try in Seattle. And then sometimes just pure art pages because I have the new acrylograph pens, I have gouache, I have watercolor, and I just want to create fun spreads in these notebooks. And speaking of which, to complement the Arch and Olive, I actually have my own watercolor sketchbook that's more watercolor friendly called the Pentalic. And so that's also what I've been using to make fun artistic spreads outside of my daily journaling. And finally, the last book I use on a consistent basis is the Hobonichi Weeks Mega. So the original intention for getting the Hobonichi Weeks Mega was that it's going to be a commonplace reference notebook for work. I work in marketing. I'm a marketing analyst. And there's lots of learnings and like new resources and tools that keep popping up every day. And although I could record them digitally, I really like this analog way of writing down these references, whether it is a great copywriting that I see on the internet or a specific website or resource that I can use to find like color palettes and stuff. So I've been using the Hobonichi Weeks Mega as that method, using the monthly spread as an index page, and then the weekly and the special, like the extra note pages as the content page. And since I'm out of work since June, I have not been using that as consistently. So I've just resorted to using it for a commonplace notebook throughout the rest of the year and maybe even into 2021. So this is my setup for 2020. The new system I'm going to use for 2021 is still pending. It's always a quest to balance what I like to use, what I can consistently use, and then what I want to use because there's so many out there, you know? There are the creatives, artists, they're always trying to get into the journaling and planner space. And so I'm always on the hunt to see what system could make my analog habit more efficient. And I think that's what everyone's trying as well. So my advice to you guys would be to listen to all the past episodes and listen to all these other guests who have cultivated this creative lifestyle and the kind of system that they like to use. And For me, I'll update you guys in the future episodes with Phyllis or with Kelly as I come to shape what I want to use for 2021. All right, that was a lot to digest, and I think for you guys and me as well, I can't believe I talked for an hour about journaling and the notebook systems and setups that's out there and my own setup. And I think I want to reserve the ending of this episode to answer some questions that people have for me following our theme from last episode where I was Dr. Wu for Phyllis and helping with her creative stationery questions. So one question I received was, what kind of bags do you use to move stationery around? Great question. So I have a variety of bags. I'm like the bag lady, as my husband likes to call me. I love organization and storage systems. So the ones I really found to be super useful when I carry a lot of stationery for cafe journaling is the Delphonics utility pouch. It is so spacious. It's got so many pockets. It has zippers, and you can even like customize like some straps so you can carry it across your body. I really like that. As for backpacks, I really enjoy using Kanken. For the Kanken bag, I don't know how to pronounce that Swedish name in the front, but that's square, but it comes in a variety of color. I've been using those Kanken backpacks since like 2014, all the way up till last year. And that's when I got the donut bag. That's from, this brand is probably from Hong Kong. I'm not sure, but donut bag is very similar to the Kanken, except it's a little bit more padded and you can actually carry your laptop around, which I like. Other forms of bags that I use, I really enjoy my Superior Labor canvas totes from a variety of sizes. I have their engineering pouch, which I got from Baumkuchen, and I also had a Superior Labor giant canvas tote that I got from my friend in Japan. That was a little hack. And so these are all just great bags, and I think another answer I would like to add to that is just random tote bags. I have probably 7 different tote bags that I use to haul my stationery around. And I really enjoy, you know, the freedom of being able to just throw everything into a bag and then, you know, playing some Jenga in it to all to fit everything in. But yeah, I think these are like my recommendations so far. And someone asked, what would you recommend for someone who's wanting to get into urban sketching? So I would say urban sketching is kind of like the extension of my hobby in the stationery world, in that it utilizes the tools that I use to journal, and then it also creates artistic things, results, like I do a creative spread. And so urban sketching in itself is a very specific, I guess, category of art that has popped up around the world for the past 20 years. It's basically the act of drawing or sketching or illustrating or watercoloring a scene in person. It's different from studio art, where you can reference a photo or like do something at your own desk and like, you know, try to draw from an image. It really kind of stood apart from other sort of drawing in the sense that you're capturing a scene and you're kind of doing a little bit of a reportage on the scene. So it's not even like plein air where you're like doing landscape and like trying to paint in one spot, you know, the beautiful things. Urban sketching is very dynamic. It could be very quick and it could also be very long, like depending on how much time you decide to spend at that location. But the key is that it has to be on location, and then the thing that you drew has to tell a story. So aside from finding resources online, like you can go on YouTube, you can join urban sketching groups on Facebook, or join or try to find a local chapter in your city to participate in real life, or, you know, find hashtags of urban sketching and see what it's like. I would suggest getting a notebook or just your daily diary and start drawing what's around you, starting from your desk. Like, draw your coffee mug, draw your notebook, draw, you know, your plants that's sitting in the windowsill. And try to include a little bit of surrounding or try to add text to that illustration that kind of gives that drawing a little bit of life. Like, for example, if I'm drawing this bamboo that I've been growing, this bamboo I've been kind of like trying to make sure it survived plant I left on my windowsill, I would draw it. And then I would probably write something like, oh, the leaves look a little bit yellow. Is this sitting in the sun for too long? So this kind of combo really encapsulate urban sketching, the spirit of urban sketching, where you're drawing on location and you're giving it a story. So I really like that. And if you want to get into urban sketching, start small, start with something that's like around in your surrounding and just do in your journal. You don't have to have a specific notebook for that. Next question, how do you consistently use the Hobonichi? So thankfully for me, after 6 years of using Hobonichi, it is absolutely a habit. I feel weird not filling out a page or at least pasting some photos for my blank pages. And I think it really comes down to whether you enjoy it and you're willing to spend the time to do it or not, because it doesn't have to be a chore. Like I said to many people, journaling is not supposed to be a chore. It's supposed to be something you do for fun. And defining consistency, it could be once a week if you spend the time doing that and you enjoy the process. So I would say for me, my level of stationery addiction has just been in the highest tier where I'm able to do it on a daily basis. But for you, you know, or for anyone who's getting into a journaling or a stationery, you don't have to commit yourself to that sort of pressure and just start by doing at least one page per week. You know, it could sum up your entire week. It could sum up one specific day. And then, or, you know, try to play around with your system. Get a data planner and pair it with an undated notebook or a journal. And then just play with fun collage or stationery or like washi tapes and stickers and all that stuff. And I think as you find yourself enjoying the process more and doing it starting from once a week, you'll find yourself building the habit eventually, and that's when you start to up the frequency, depending on obviously how much time you want to spend into this hobby. The next question is a hard one, but it's also a very easy one. If you were to pick one planner for 2021, what would it be? So if we're talking about planner specifically, like for scheduling, it's definitely the Noti Listy. If you're talking about journaling, diary, / planner, schedule all in together, like if I would have to only write in one book of all the books I've owned, definitely the Hobonichi Cousin Epic. There's no question about that. And last question, how are you storing past Hobonichis and how frequently do you go back and look into it? So I literally store all my Hobonichi tetros, like the past Avex, they're all chunky little books, bricks, I would call them, in like a locklet style container, you know, where the ones where you like lock, like click, click, and then open. They're like clear containers, and I would throw in some of those, like, you know, those little pouches with the silicone balls where you keep things dry. And they're literally just sitting there. I'm actually a little bit worried about my old Hobonichis from 2014 to 2016, which I've been storing back home in Taiwan. And because Taipei is super humid, I kind of am wanting to go back and like retrieve them and store them here in Seattle because it's nice and dry over here. As for the frequency of revisiting, I think that's the fun part about the Hobonichi, is to look back and see all the fun stories that's inside your, you know, daily life, even though you don't think it was funny or like or interesting at the moment. But I flip through my old Hobonichis about once or twice a year, actually not that much. And it's usually a year or 2 years later that looking back at those entries is fun, because especially when you flip through and found those pages where you found the old April or the old you lamenting about how bad or how how sucky life is. And then you're like, oh, April, you have no idea. That's nothing compared to right now, you know? So that's the fun thing about keeping a journal, keeping a diary. And for me, I just really much enjoy this obsession, this hobby of curating the little things that is boring to everyone else, but is special to me. And then being able to curate them in such a beautiful way. And I recommend you guys, you know, finding the time frame, frequency, and friends or community that can support your questions or your doubts or, you know, your hobby, because it's how we grow. It's how I grow as in terms of my style, my journaling habits, my shopping habits, my taste in journaling styles. And I just think about, you know, how I would be as a person without journaling in my life for the past 6 years. I'm a little bit feeling a little bit bittersweet about the years before 2014, where I can't really remember the fun things that had happened when I was living in Thailand, and I wish I had done so back then. And if I hadn't had journaling in my life for the past 6 years, I wonder how much would I have appreciated who I am right now without all these conscious effort to appreciate things that are around me, you know, my growth, my friends, things I did, the people I've met. And I feel more fulfilled in a way compared to other people who don't keep a journal, because it'll be hard for them to recall certain moments of struggle or certain moments of pure happiness as well as I can through my journals and through my analog journaling. So that's why I journal. That's why I am a stationery addict and I have a notebook problem, but I'm not ashamed and I really enjoy the process. And on a final note, I want to, you know, be realistic in the idea that I do own a lot of stuff, but I don't use them all at the same time, but I'm content with that. And I think it really boils down to that stationary minimalism that Anna and I talked about back then, is that you don't have to use everything to the fullest to feel that happiness. It's really about, you know, spending that time with this certain notebook or system during this period of your life and then moving on to the next, but then knowing that you had fun back then. Oh my gosh, I feel like I'm quoting one of those Roy G. Arai covers that was from last year. I forgot when it was, but we sure had fun. That was the quote. So I hope you enjoy this episode. And next week, we'll resume to bring you fun guest episodes with some amazing people in the stationery community. And I can't wait to see you in the next happy hour. Bye.